I want to mention that as a result of interning here, I've been provided with many opportunities to conduct interviews with diplomats, government officials, scholars, influential members of the international relations and diplomatic corps, along with influential members of the legal community. And as a result of interning at the NATO Association of Canada, I've been provided with an opportunity to learn something new every day as a result of interviewing and speaking to influential members of the community. And I think that that's something that every young professional should look into when they consider interning or when they consider applying to a job, is what are you going to gain from the position, and at the same time, what will you be able to give? I know I started my internship in September, and it's been, you know, 8 months now. It's April, and I decided to come back for another 4 months because I love the team that's here, and the mentorship is highly valuable. So
I wanted to touch on something, and mentoring is actually a very important topic for me. The world today is very different than what your parents went through and what your grandparents went through. Today, it's not just education. It's not just the degree you get. Today, you have to show your future employer not just your academic credentials, but your ability to work and ability to work in a team. We now work in an environment, a work environment, where teams are formed and dissolved instantly. And so your ability to work together as a team is very important, as you mentioned. I would also encourage people, it's not just the NAC, there are also institutions that you can volunteer with. There's some wonderful organizations out there. The only thing that I would ask you to consider is, and you mentioned it, Magdalena, the importance of determining what you can give in return.
Yes.
If you were to come in here and said, I would just want to have an internship so I can learn, then I would say to you, you have only got half the story.
This is true. This is very true.
So that's important too.
And Robert, our corporate development officer here, mentioned that on day one, he mentioned that what you give in to the internship is what you'll get out.
Yes, I agree.
As I mentioned, I'm very honored to be here, and it's an honor to be interviewing
you
today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And in addition, I want to mention that over your career, you have also served in various public affairs positions with the military across Canada, along with the United Nations, and you have served in Afghanistan. Please share with us some of your most memorable experiences.
Well, you know, I have a 38-year career in the military.
Yes.
And I would tell anyone, and I was sent to speak at various round tables and speak at different venues. And I would say to people that the 1 year I spent in Afghanistan was probably the best year of my career. And a lot of people would be shocked and ask why. And I'll say, because it was meaningful. What we did in Afghanistan dramatically affected the lives and livelihood of people, especially the women and the girl child in Afghanistan. So when you put together, help put together a program on adult literacy for women, it dramatically changes the dynamics of that family. Or when you have a program that brings girl childs to school, you have dramatically affected that society. So that became a very big touch point for me in my career. I think as a public affairs officer within the military, when I look back, was the one thing that I would take from my career is the number of people that I've met and the number of people I had the privilege of working with and the number of things that I got to see that became momentous or historic. And so it's a career that had taken me to the Arctic a number of times. It is a career that had taken me to Africa. It's a career that had taken me to Afghanistan, as you mentioned. It's a career that's taken me to meetings inside the UN. And it's a career that had taken me to sitting on the floor talking to a villager somewhere. And all of them were useful, and all of them were meaningful.
Mr. Wong, with all of your experiences, what would you say to the youth and the young professionals out there who are considering entering the Canadian Armed Forces?
I would say, just do it. I'll tell you something that not many people know, and I'll share a secret with you and your audience.
Please do. Thank you.
I actually joined the Canadian military by crossing the floor, the hallway from the citizenship court. And as I got my citizenship and crossed the hall and signed up.
Wow.
But that was the second time I signed up. I actually signed up a few years before, and I joined the summer program and went through basic training and qualified as a private, a basic infantryman. And I was 2 years underage and not a Canadian citizen. I just wanted to do it. And now I'm not advising anyone to do this, but when they asked me what my age was, I changed my date, my birth date. But if you want to join the military, then go and ask recruiting and just do it. You cannot sit back and wonder and think about it. You just have to do it. Now, there are certain criteria, there are certain requirements. You have to meet those requirements, of course. Joining the military is just one way to serve the world. There are other ways to do that too. I've known some wonderful people who have worked for NGOs. I've known people who went and worked for the UN or the WHO or UNICEF. So everybody has a role to play. You don't even have to go overseas to help people. I know people who work with the homeless or the food bank or with shelters. So there is always a way to work and to serve. And I think that if there's anything, and your question was, what should I tell the young people of the world today? It is to you to find your passion. No one can teach you that. No one can give it to you. You have to find your passion. Unfortunately, in the world of today, where it's so fast and so multiple, with such multiple platforms, it's very hard to determine what your passion is, because there's always something else to look at. I appreciate that. But you need to quieten the time, you need to quieten yourself, and there's always a moment when you say, what is my passion? Could be law,
yeah.
It could be medicine, it could be police, it could be social work, it could even be sweeping the floor. If someone says to me, my passion is to be a janitor, then my response would be, wonderful, be the most passionate janitor that ever was. If you want to be a politician, then be the most passionate politician there ever was. Same thing if you want to be a pilot, or if you want to be a doctor, or you want to be a teacher. Find that passion.
I strongly agree with you. I oftentimes advise the young professionals and the youth that mm-hmm. I mentor to figure out what it is mm-hmm. that they're passionate about. And in the world that we live in today, there are so many complexities and so many opportunities and so many positions and jobs that are out there that it's oftentimes difficult for the young professionals and the youth to determine what it is that they're passionate about unless they take the time and make the initiative to try different jobs. You know, if they're passionate about the law, volunteer in a law firm.
Go to a legal clinic.
Go to a legal clinic. Work there. See what it's like.
And I don't mean work there as a lawyer.
No.
File papers. Right.
Talk to lawyers. Talk to legal professionals. Every single... I know with my personal experience, I took the initiative to talk to different lawyers in Toronto. And I obtained a lot of valuable information as to some of the pros and some of the cons associated with pursuing a career in the field of law. Now, law's not for everyone, but at the same time, if you're passionate and you're driven, then it can be the right career for you.
Yeah. Having said that, I know the youth of today, and that schools will tell them that, teachers will tell them that, mothers will tell them, go find something passionate to do, right? And you're going to try all those things. I think the danger here is that our world is so busy that we get distracted. A lot of times, you just have to pick up something and do it and find out. There's no more this notion that you begin a career when you finish high school at 18 and you end that career when you retire at 65. That's the days of your grandparents.
It's true.
Now, you do something, you learn from it, and you use that to move on to something else. I find that a lot of youth today stop themselves because they think too far down the road. Pick up something and do it, see how you feel about it, see what you learn from it, and then pick up something else and do that.
Mm-hmm. I strongly agree with you. I think that overanalyzing can be detrimental, overplanning.
And then you don't do anything.
Then you don't do anything. Exactly. You have to take that time to take a complete task one step at a time.
First step.
Mr. Wong, in addition to your experience, you have also been recognized for many achievements. You received an award for outstanding service to the Office of the
Left-handed
Governor of Ontario in February of 2014. In addition, you were also presented with the 2012 Chinese Canadian Legend Award from the Asian Business Network Association. The award recognizes and honors Chinese Canadians who have made significant contributions to the community and Canada through outstanding achievements in their field. Please discuss what it felt like receiving the award from the Office of the
Left-handed
Governor of Ontario among the many awards that you've received for your outstanding contributions in the community.
I always feel embarrassed each time an award is given, and that's the God's honest truth.
You shouldn't.
I know, but I always feel embarrassed. Let me tell you, when I received the Chinese Canadian Legend Award, you know, and they called me and they said, we want to present you with the Canadian Chinese Legend Award, I thought, I'm not a legend. I'm not even that old.
You're not old, but you're a legend, for sure.
So here's what I realized. Remember how I said that I actually joined the first time?
Yes.
And I was 2 years too young?
Yes, I remember.
And I was not a Canadian citizen. You see, when I joined at that, if you spare me a few minutes.
Absolutely.
When I joined at that time, I literally heard that the 2nd Battalion Irish Regiment of Canada in Sudbury, Ontario, had a summer program. They're looking for people to learn how to become a soldier. And I said, I want to do that. And I was 14 years old. And so I line up. And now this was a long time ago. And this was the time when we did not have computers. Imagine that. So we lined up. And thankfully, the kid in front of me was too young. And so the sergeant that was at the recruiting desk said, I'm sorry, you're too young. You have to come back next year because you're 15. And I was 14.
Wow.
And so thankfully the kid says, well, how old do you have to be? And the sergeant said, you have to be 16 at the start of the program. Quickly, in that space of time, I managed to recalculate my birth date so that when I walked up, and he said, how old are you? I gave my new birth date, and magically, I was 16 at the start of the program.
Wow.
Right? So I said, good, you qualify.
Yeah.
Now, because you're 16, I had to get my parents' permission to join, because I'm joining the military.
Right.
I'm learning how to become a soldier. And so I waited till my father came home from work when he was working shift work. So he came back from the midnight shift. So it was 8 o'clock in the morning. He was pretty tired.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, I got myself a job with the government, but you need to sign here. And so he signed.
Wow.
So at the night that I received the Chinese Canadian Legend Award, that was the first I told this story. And my dad was in the audience. And that was the first time he ever heard the story. And so I said, Dad, you and I broke the law that morning.
That's funny.
And in doing so, Canada violated the Geneva Convention on Child Soldiers.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So I hope there was a statute of limitation.
Yes.
To that. But here's why I wanted to say this, and this is why I bored your audience with this story. I finished my training, and then I was assigned as a private to the battalion. And I was going through my, you know, every Wednesday night I went on parade, you know, as a reservist. And in October, I was called to the CO's office, the commanding officer's office. And he had a message from Ottawa, and the message read, and I can still picture it, I wish I kept a copy of it. It said, Private Wong is to be released immediately as an alien awaiting security clearance. They caught me not because I was underage. They caught me because I was not a Canadian citizen.
Oh, no.
Right? So I was getting released. And the message also said, and the uniforms be taken off him immediately and returned immediately. So there was a discussion. There was the commanding officer, the RSM, my platoon commander, myself. And there was a discussion of what does remove the uniform mean. And finally I said, I don't have anything else to wear, so if you take the uniform off me, it's going to be a very cold walk home.
Did they let you keep the uniform?
So I promised to bring it back the next morning.
I understand.